I'd like to extend warm greetings to everyone listening to this recording. My name is Rob Christie. I've been involved in what is loosely called the personal growth and transformation movement for decades. And during that time, I've had the privilege of meeting a lot of very powerful teachers, and I'm with one this morning, my dear friend, Jim Hamilton. Jim has, over time, perfected an array of supportive programs that can benefit virtually anyone who commits the time and energy to doing something that will cause permanent and meaningful change in their lives. How are you today, Jim?
I'm great. How about yourself?
Just fine. Just fine.
I know you're dealing with allergies a little bit, but we can overcome that too. Hey, I was channeling Kevin Spacey there for a second. I don't know where that came from.
Great actor.
Yep. So we're going to do a general question kind of a thing this time around, right? And make it up as we go along, like we always do.
Jim, when people approach you for advice and support these days, what's number one on the list? What are you seeing in terms of the number one concern that people are bringing to you?
Oh, that's interesting. First off, I think everyone goes on their merry way. You know, I don't think people, let's see here. What I find is that everybody runs in gradient levels of overload. And so they kind of have blinders on a little bit. And I'm not saying that's wrong. We live our lives, we do what we do, and we don't veer from what we know to be so too much. And the more we're in overload as a species and individually, the more the blinders are kind of on and limit our potential for new ideas. And so what I look at is people settled in their patterns and habits, comfortable in them, even if they're not, because what we have is what we have. And, you know, as we've taught, courage is what it takes to break out. And most people are in overloads, and we come out of the COVID era, if you will. And while there's a lot of new excitement about breaking loose, for one thing, we're still using the tools of the 80s. Now you got me on something interesting, because I don't think there's that much new out there. I think that everything's kind of a repeat of what was discovered in the 80s. And I sat in on a class, a presenter talking about the Akashic Records. She's got books. She's kind of internationally known. And let me tell you, was that poor? It was poor. And so there's a lot of repeat going on right now. And I don't think people have really discovered the importance and the opportunity to break free that's now become available. I think I mentioned I'm working with a guy in the Virgin Islands. He's introduced himself to me as an archangel. I'm not convinced about that. I was at one point, but he introduced the concept of right and left-hand spin. And he says that for the last 10,000 years, our economy, the leadership, and the planet has been kind of dominated by a left-hand spin. And well, I'll try to explain that a little bit. There's an energetic under reality, and a left-hand spin energy is kind of weak, for which, what's the term? The mice will play, or whatever it is. And That was the Piscean age and the age before that in 10,000 years back. And we've just moved to the Aquarian age, which was a 10-year transition from 2012 to 2022, ending the winter solstice of 2022. And he predicted we were going to see a massive shift as everything goes to right spin. And so let me degree that a little bit more. The first physicist I worked with introduced me to an idea that the smallest particles of matter, and I'm not sure they're necessarily physical, they're called spinners of information. So spinners mean, it must mean they spin to the left or they spin to the right. And being the underlying nature of reality, spinners of information, I believe what I've learned for the gentleman in Virgin Islands is that they were left-hand spin. And again, they created a certain kind of weakness in the field for which, don't want to say evil, that's not what I'm talking about, but just kind of the dumber part of humanity, the greed part, and all of the taking advantage of others. And so now that we've gone to a right spin, as of the first of the year, I've seen marvelous changes. And this is a 10-year shift to a right spin energy. So the underlying nature of reality is these spinners of information, and I perceive them as having become right spin based on his information. And I've seen a lot of marvelous new things. I mean, marvelous new things. And I believe what's happening is that the humans are in a process of waking up. So the underlying nature of this right-hand spin has become evident, certainly to me. And so we're all still kind of stuck in our patterns and habits that we've had for years. There's a newness coming out of COVID, when and COVID might be that big demarcation point between the old and the new. And so there's more opportunity and more explosion of new ideas. And so my world revolves around helping people transition from the old to the new. And I personally see lots of evidence of shift. I'm sure everybody does. There's a breaking down of the old. There's no doubt about it. And I think it's bigger than we know. And we're right at the cusp of something huge.
Let's go back to a term you used a few minutes ago, because I want to make sure our audience understands A, what it is, and B, its implication. And that's overload.
All
That
right.
comes up frequently in our conversations. And put a little more flesh on those bones for our listeners.
All right, that's a great concept. Overload. So my world says, if especially if I look at nature, that nature is plugged into source, innate intelligence, God, frequency of God, even coherence, whatever you want to call it. There's an order that everything shares, and somehow the humans are out of sync with that. And because we're out of sync with that, we're out of sync with the guidance that comes along with this governance that you could say. So you could say this governance, this overall whole, this overall order, which people call God, everything is plugged into it, and the humans are out of sync with that. And so that means that the brain has to attempt to manually process the whole world, because normally guidance delivers all of that. For which the world gets to be a very interesting place, by the way. People think guidance, well, you just kind of walk around and this and that, but guidance is it's so the point is, when humans as a species seem to be out of sync with their natural state of connection with source, they're out of their natural state of connection with guidance, and so the brain has to manually process everything, and that's where the overload comes from, because the brain wasn't designed for that. If you want to take a half a step further, your eyes, which sense out and receive back data, your ears, which sense out and receive back data or information, same thing with taste, touch, and smell, that's what the brain is designed to process, in my opinion. So you got the processing of the senses with the brain, guidance, and that's the whole system. Without the guidance, the brain has to do everything. That's what generates the massive overload. And in overload, we're really shut down. And so that means that resistance and rigidity and reaction become evident because we're in overload. In fact, allowing becomes more difficult because we're in overload. And so to add a half a step to that, my world says the brain on overload created the mind as a guard dog to protect the brain, because too much incoming information overloads the brain even more. And especially when we make poor decisions, reactionary decisions, we now have to plow through all of that poor reality creating, which delivers even more overload. So when people are in overload, it's difficult for them to take on new things, new ideas, new, you know, there's so much in front of us, so much possibility. And in overload, we have to restrict how we look at the world, because we can't be this wide open. But when you have access to guidance, all of that gets processed in this bigger picture for which the scale of synchronicity, harmony, and order, and guidance and flow become extraordinary. And that's what I teach about access to.
Well, one of the things that's impressed me on an ongoing basis in our relationship and our conversations is that you have developed specific time-tested programs that address overload, so that a client of yours is not out there flailing about, you know, doing the same thing and expecting a different result, but is invited to embrace a path that has been shown to lead them out of the woods, to use a metaphor. So say a bit about how your programs support people in making that vital step.
You know, only recently when I revamped Core Resonance, or rebranded back to Visionaries Lab. And Visionaries Lab is mind-based technology. Core Resonance is nervous system or brain-based technology, quieting the nervous system. But I came to realize that what I really offer are two variations of access to guidance. The mind-based technology is called Guidance Light, LITE. And Core Resonance can deliver you to pure guidance, because Core Resonance can absolutely quell the mind, or the mind will find its proper position and let up to its supposed survival responsibilities of protecting the brain on overload. And so ultimately, you reduce it way down. And what I do is I teach access to guidance. And so, like with the mind-based technology of Visionaries Lab, the program is called Soaring Affirmations, Prosperity, and Guidance Light. And what we're doing is we're reformatting what the mind broadcasts, because our mind is running all the time. And if it's running all the time, it's broadcasting all the time. And I like to say that your broadcast and your prayer are the same thing, because who else is there to hear it but God? I use the term very loosely, but you know, there's law of attraction. What you focus on expands. There's something called cause and effect. There's something called trial and error. All of that suggests there's a relationship with something outside of us, or there's more than just us walking around in a vacuum. There's a relationship with our surrounding. And the biggest version of that is God, or this order that everything shares. And so when our mind is running, all of that is part of the broadcast, part of the prayer, and, as I would also say, an affirmation, because whatever we output is what we affirm. And so my belief is that our focus needs to learn how to become singular in our attention on the frequency of God. In other words, if we're going to have a broadcast, let's clean it up, and let's re-enable this natural state of connection with Source. And a mind-driven tool isn't as powerful as no tool, which Core Resonance is about quieting the mind altogether, moving out of the mind altogether, for which the connection naturally shows up. But if you're not willing or capable of going to that length, which is what core resonance is about, instead what we do is we revise and upgrade the quality of the broadcast that comes out of us. And so when our focus becomes singular on our connection with source, our mind's output, prayer, affirmation becomes set on enabling, revising upward our connection with source. Now we're starting to broadcast something that's useful. And so my work is about, I believe the only solution is humans reconnecting to their natural state of connection with source. That's just the bottom line. And anything less than that, we're going around in circles, because otherwise the mind is running the show. And I will tell you, with the amount of access I've had to presence, that the mind is a poor tool from the get-go. And once you can actually let it go altogether, the whole guidance thing really starts picking up steam. We become exponential. As I like to say, the humans save the humans, so we can then save the whales.
Well, listening to you, Jim, I'm reminded of recent statistics that for some period of time now, there has been a reduction in the number of Americans who include church membership or church attendance in their lives. And as you know, so there's this negative feeling about religion out there, and I just want our audience to know that what you're talking about here, when you talk about access to source and access to God, it's not from a primarily religious point of view, nor do your clients have to embrace a particular religious point of view. It's more like a technology, or several technologies that are designed to reprogram your clients so they can gain the access to God or source, which is, in your estimation and mine, ultimately the only way to go.
That's right. So I've kind of reduced consciousness down to a mechanical understanding. Our nervous system is our center. People talking about the heart being the center, and they talk about heartfelt. That's actually the nervous system resonating in a certain manner, because our connection with source is always available to us. And when things become more orderly, the nervous system is more subtle, and I learned from Abraham a long, long time ago that the universe or innate intelligence interfaces with us through feeling, and feeling is collected by the nervous system. So our nervous system is like a living antenna system, and so we receive our connection from source, for which the brain is part of that. But mechanically, that's how it works. Whether we perceive God as inside of us or outside of us is not really part of the point. But clearly, it has nothing to do with pews, nothing to do with baptism, nothing to do with church. And I personally think well, let's say I won't say what I personally think about church. But of course, on the other hand, I operate as the House of Coherence, and technically, that's church. It's a nonprofit, and we all, there's something we need to learn about all of that. But the long story short is, consciousness is a, it's, I've reduced it down to a mechanical understanding. And as we come to understand that our connection with source is first and foremost, and as we learn how to enable that, we can see the quality of our reality creating. We can see the quality of our surroundings get better. In fact, there's an expression I use: the quality of your reality creating is a scorecard for the quality of your connection with source. And so, you know, that's a real interesting comment. But we need to understand that we're not whole on our own. We're not whole on our own at all. There's a whole support environment that we need to plug into to make us whole. And when we become whole, then we step into our power. Because I ultimately teach, personal power. And if you're not plugged into God, so to speak, you're never going to be whole. What comes to mind of the football players or the basketball players or the soccer players, when they go down to court, the better they are, the more they move out of their mind when they're playing. And the more they move out of their mind, the more they play in unison. The more they go down the field as one. The more, and that's what the fans come to see is the magnificent level that these people play at when they move out of their mind. And I think that's called the zone or the kudos zone. And that's why these basketball players and these guys play like this, because when you move out of your mind, you start to move into this arena of frequency of order that's bigger than what you can create from the mind. And so learning how to lose the mind is the game. And of course, most people are afraid of losing their mind. But when you let go to something bigger, and that again, that's the big game. That's what my work's about. We start to have something that we've never had before, something we've only otherwise glimpsed. Intuition's a tiny bit of that.
Warm greetings to everyone listening to this recording, whatever time it may be, wherever you may be. My name is Rob Christie. I've been personally involved in growth and transformation for a long time. And during that fruitful journey, I've had the occasion to meet many powerful teachers, and I'm with one of those this morning, my dear friend Jim Hamilton. Many things impress me about Jim, but I think what impresses me the most is that over time, he has come up with several powerful technologies that will support anyone who is seriously interested in making meaningful change in their lives. And he's also identified where you want to get to. And if you don't get there, you will continue to have significant challenges in your life. Jim, you shared a statement with me recently. I'm not sure I've got all of the words exactly right, but something to the effect that what outpictures in one's physical reality is a scorecard of the quality of your life. Now, I don't have the words right, but let's start there. Share the exact quotation, and then let's take it apart.
Okay, so Rob, good to be here. Good to be with you. And I always like our conversations and our ability to share them with others. So the quotation is, the quality of our reality creating is a scorecard for the quality of our connection with Source. The quality of our reality creating is a scorecard for the quality of our connection with Source. What that means, what I've noticed is I've learned how to plug into what's true. I've found that the scale of synchronicity, harmony, and order, which is a phrase I created long, long time ago, increases. So as we move into, I'll give you an example. As you move into allowing, first off, resistance brings you more of the same, and allowing brings you something new and different in each moment. So as you move into allowing, you don't really know what's going to happen next. That's the whole point of allowing. It's the whole point of it. And what happens is, as you move into allowing, you're at the opposite end of resistance, because resistance is absolutely mind. But as you move into allowing, the unknown becomes evident and available, and allowing will bring you something greater each and every time, because that's what allow, because when you allow, again, you move out of the mind, you move farther away from the mind, you move more into the realm of the frequency of God operating. And so what happens is, as you allow, the quality of your reality creating now has a component beyond you that contributes to your outcomes. And as those outcomes improve, they then become easier to allow. Because you see, resistance, when you resist what you don't want, you get more of that. And then you have to plow through more of what you don't want. And the only way to escape that is to move to allowing. So the quality of your reality creating is a scorecard for the quality of your connection with source, says is that as your reality creating improves, as you see evidence of newfound synchronicity, harmony, and order, as you see evidence of things sliding into place on their own, maybe something that started 2 weeks ago that you noticed, like I was in I bought an extra furniture plant. I've discovered, what's that store called? Harbor Freight. And I bought an extra furniture clamp, because I wanted a second one because I had one. And about 4 or 5 days later, something important came up and I needed both of those clamps. And so these are the little things. They start somewhere else and they later show up in your life as what I would call synchronicity, because what I needed to do, I had what I had available. And I'd actually made the purchase a week earlier without regard for what I eventually used it. Maybe I didn't explain it as well as I could have, but the point is, the quality of our reality creating is a scorecard for the quality of our connection with source. The more we move into allowing, the more we move up the map of consciousness, the more we allow, the more we naturally become blended with source, because that's really what goes on. Resistance and mind keep us away from our connection and overload, and allowing starts the component of the quality of our reality creating improving, so that it becomes easier to allow, because what? Now you've got direction for which allowing is unfolding, for which allowing becomes easier. Your connection with source becomes enabled. And as you become partnered or blended with source, again, the quality of your reality creating continues to improve. So the quality of your reality creating is a scorecard for the quality of your connection with source.
As I understand it, Jim, just to clarify it for the audience, you regard source and God as synonymous. They're just two different words for the same thing.
I have a number of terms that I use: innate intelligence, source, the divine truth, sometimes the frequency of God, God, coherence is another term. And I use them when I say poetically, I use them interchangeably. And depending on the sentence, I will use the term that seems to match the lilt of the sentence structure, you might say. And so the newest term is the frequency of God. And not that long ago, maybe a couple of years now, I came to understand that the closest thing we can describe to God or the frequency of God is coherence, because coherence dissipates distortion. That's physics. And light dissipates darkness. And so the frequency of God, that governance, that type of governance, as you plug into it, dissonance falls away. And so there's an order that everything shares. I know that from my earliest days of looking at books that talk about how the planets go around the sun. There's order everywhere. You learn a little bit about science and molecules and atoms and all. It's all orderly. The whole thing is orderly. That's And I believe that there's a single order that everything shares. And for some reason, the humans are out of sync with that. All the deer and the bumblebees and the trees and armadillos and skunks and all those guys, anything that migrates, anything that reproduces, anything that eats and poops, all of that is plugged into an order, and the whole thing is orderly. I don't know why the humans, with so much order around us, have such a disregard for it. I'm not really sure. But all of that is God. You could say God is a governance. If you wanted to call God a kingdom, that's a little bit on a Christian term, I suppose, but there's an order that everything shares, and when the humans learn how to plug into it, we move to a whole different level of existence. And I will tell you that it's exciting and it's an adventure, and there's more going on than you'd ever imagine. You don't just sit in the lap of God and go, "Hee hum, I wonder what I'm going to do next." There's an adventure and a journey that is beyond what we tend to understand. Game gets bigger and bigger is what it does as we plug into what's true.
Compare and contrast resistance and allowing.
All right. There are a couple of them. There are fundamental terms for teaching people basic concepts. So again, resistance is a product of the brain being on overload. And again, the brain is on overload because its job is to process these five senses. Its job is to do all the calculations when you do a U-turn in front of Walmart, five lanes of traffic. There's a lot of things you're watching out for at the same time, not to mention policemen, but pedestrians and cars in different lanes and people taking left-hand turn, left-hand, and there's a lot going on. You've got curbs, you've got all kinds of things you're watching. And that's what the brain's job is to do calculations based on sensing out with the eyes and hearing and back and forth. But when the brain has to process everything because we're out of our natural state of guidance, again, I touched on it a bit ago, I believe the brain sets up the mind as a guard dog for the brain on overload. And so the mind's job is to restrict incoming information. The mind, by its very nature, is about resistance. It's about rigidity. It's about reaction. Because when the brain's in overload, about all you can do is react. And so most of us settle into patterns and habits, safe patterns and habits, and we live our lives kind of like this. And I'm not making that wrong because overload's a big deal. And by the way, when you're high sensitivity, you induce overload even easier because high sensitivity means you have even more information incoming. And that produces overload. So resistance is a product of the brain being on overload, attempting to do what it was never designed to do, because guidance plays a huge part in our lives, as it does in the trees and everything out in nature. They're all plugged into guidance. We're out of sync with that. The brain is stuck with the whole job. That's where your resistance and reaction and overload and all that comes from. Allowing, on the other hand, is first off something you and allowing is how you get out of resistance. Where you once resisted and you start allowing, and you start with little things. See, that's where the courage comes in, because courage is the break point on the map of consciousness. You're at these all these heavy duty resistance and reactionary and just overload components on the map. You move to courage, and then you start moving to neutrality and reason and joy and peace. And so that's all moving up the map toward more allowing. And so resistance is a product of the brain being on overload, in my opinion. And I've done a lot of work with the brain, a lot of work with the mind, and I've done a lot of work with neurofeedback. And we can, with Core Resonance, which is a neurofeedback-based program, it's been entirely rewritten, entirely and used entirely differently. We can cause the brain to defrag, you might say. What we do is we put the brain in front of the hardware software. In other words, we sit at a computer, put the mind aside, let the brain have the experience with itself. And as the brain discovers itself through the hardware software, the brain reorganizes itself and the brain quiets down. And as the brain quiets down, that natural state of connection with source starts to become evident. Why? Because the brain on overload, the mind protecting the brain on overload, shuts down this connection inadvertently. Everything gets shut down. We got too much incoming information. Our connection with source is very subtle, and it gets shut down relatively easily because of the overload. And of course, we all have it always at some point, at some gradient level. But when we quiet the nervous system, the brain being the single biggest part, which is what core resonance is about, and maybe we'll talk about colonies one of these days, six people sharing the ownership of the gear. But as you quiet the nervous system, quiet the brain being the single biggest part, that natural state of connection with source becomes enabled. And what happens is the mind will then subside to that connection. But we have to first clean the brain up of the overload. Everybody carries a lot of trauma, a lot of everything. And if the humans didn't have a lot of magic at our back, I can't even begin to imagine how we'd made it this far. I mean, we're incredibly resilient because ultimately we're plugged into something bigger, but we're just unconscious to it. So consciousness is about becoming conscious to our connection, moving away from resistance and moving into allowing. Why? Because allowing, as you continue to allow and refine that concept of allowing, you naturally become more blended with source. That's an interesting place to play. There's nothing comparable. There's nothing else to do that's even remotely comparable with the idea of plugging back in to the frequency of God or enabling that connection and becoming part and parcel with it and actually becoming a host for it expressing through you, which, by the way, is kind of the high end of the whole thing. It flowing through you with no distortion. When you move into enough allowing and become a host for innate intelligence expressing through you with no distortion into the world of humanity, which is really what we end up doing, there's nothing bigger. And that's the game. That's what I'm teaching here ultimately.
Is it accurate to say that allowing and resistance are polar opposites?
Yeah, I think so. They produce opposite results. Resistance brings you more of the same. Allowing brings you something new and different in each moment. So for sure. And let me add this. We live in a world of polarity. And so resistance, so it's polarity, this dimension of polarity that we live in that helps us understand the difference between right and wrong and fast and slow and good and bad and hot and cold and all that. So resistance and allowing is the game that we... understanding the polarity of resistance and allowing, because you can go to less resistance and more allowing in really small gradients. You start with little bits. Everybody thinks, well, I need to get it all working tomorrow. And you do it in where, you know, there's places we know where we're resistant, that in thinking about it, we know that we can change that behavior. And that's the beginning of knowing the difference. And so we can practice that on our own. Of course, it's an internal job anyway, but as you start to allow, you're going to get more allowing that serves you. You're going to get more outcomes that serve you. In fact, anything in allowing will serve you. Mind-driven allowing is a little bit different, but actually learning how to allow versus resist, it's a letting go process. And you have to trust that in letting go, that you're not going to get the devil or some monster is going to eat you or something. And we pretty much know that to be a fact. So I haven't seen any monsters lately myself.
It sounds like it's important as one moves into allowing to notice things that you might have the predilection to judge as small and unimportant. Whereas any small victory in allowing takes you in the direction you want to go.
Absolutely. So judgment's a really interesting term. You know, I was raised Christian, I suppose you'd say. I never really bought into it much, but I know one of the things that Jesus or somebody said was judge not. Don't be judging. Judging is a mind-based version. You see, the mind is really a limited tool because its foundation is resistance. Its foundation is shutting out incoming information to protect the overloaded brain. By the way, mind, time, and resistance are synonymous. So I don't have that high a regard for the mind in the first place. In fact, I started to say I trash it all the time. That's not true. But I don't. Somebody that writes symphonies or poetry, they're not doing that in their mind. They move past their mind when they write symphonies or design bridges or, the architectural, the creativity. That is not mind-based. And so when we come to realize the mind is holding on to what it has for dear life because the brain's in overload, we realize we've got to find a way to learn how to let go of the mind. And of course, meditation's the beginning of that. It's one of the mechanisms. And by the way, when you meditate, the whole idea is to what? Allow. When you're meditating and you're new at it, and there's some noise going on in the background, and you try to push that noise away, that's called resistance. What you do is you allow that noise. You allow the telephone to ring when you're meditating. You learn how to allow, and that's what the beauty of meditation is. In the quiet of the room in your head, you can practice allowing, and then it starts to become bigger and more evident in in your day-to-day world.
Anyone listening to this recording, whatever time of day it might be, wherever you may be, I'm Rob Christie. For years, I've been studying personal growth and transformation, attempting to do things that better me as a person, better my life. And I've had the privilege of interacting with a lot of great teachers, and I'm with one this morning. His name's Jim Hamilton. He's a dear friend, a great teacher. Many things impress me about Jim. Maybe number one on the list is that he's developed an array of technologies that genuinely support anyone who is seriously committed to making meaningful change for the good in their lives. Jim, I'd like to maybe surprise you if I can. In between segments, I was thinking about art. And some wise person once commented to me that they felt that the highest and best use of art was to point us in the direction of the ineffable, which, as I understood it, in their world was a synonym for God, source. And I've certainly had that experience, thinking of the print of a painting by Cezanne that used to hang in my home, and I would look at and imagine the state he was in when he made that painting. Your comments, sir.
Rob, it's great to be here. I appreciate the surprise. And well, what comes to mind? All I hear is standing up on my arms right now. What comes to mind? What a funny expression. So an artist, when they art, A writer when they write, a designer when they design. Well, they use their mind to find their car to get to work, and they sit it and they to use their mind to, and of course, they settle into automatic to do all these things. But what happens is when we create, we have to move out of the mind to do that. And so what we do is we move into the land of the frequency of God. It's an oversimplification, but what else could it be? I mean, how is intuition not associated with the frequency of God? Because mind and intuition and the thinking mind and intuition are entirely different realms. And so the realm of intuition even is the realm of creativity, because a lot of creativity comes through as intuition. And so my point is, that what I really want to get to is, there's a young lady, she's probably 15 now, and maybe she's 16, I don't, maybe it's even a little bit older. But when I saw her, I volunteer for a chamber music organization, and I've been there 8 or 9 years, and Chamber Music Sedona. And I've ended up doing all the concerts, and so there's lots of wonderful music. And then one concert was a woman by the name of Emily Bear, BEAR actually. And she was accompanied by Zolo Bailey, who played cello, and then there was maybe a violin, and she played piano. And so the first night of the 2 nights, because they accompanied her and traveled with her, and she was 13 at the time. And the music she played, she wrote when she was two. I believe that's right. And the point is, and by the way, she mesmerized, and this is a sophisticated audience. We just had the Danish String Quartet last month, and this is the gentleman that runs Chamber Music Sedona is out of New York City, and does it takes years to get some of these groups lined up. So we're experienced in listening, and even opera and all. I did a couple of years of opera. I like the nodding out and coming back, and nodding out and coming back. But so my point is, Emily Bear, when she played, she absolutely mesmerized the audience and transformed the audience like something we'd never heard before. And this music was written when she was like 2 years old, really, really, really young. And what I believe is, where some people would assume and say, well, that's evidence of past life. What I believe is, and probably to this day, she has a part of her where there is no mind, and it's an intact connection with source. And that's where the music that she writes comes through her. And so art is a product of moving out of your mind. I think that's why people paint, is they move out of their mind and they move to the experience of painting, for which they look at it and go, oh, I think I like that. You don't design it with your mind. You don't design it with your head. It's a letting go process. And I think that's probably what makes the art world so special, and why it attracts so many people, is because you move out of your mind when you do it. And I think it's the same thing with sports. The people that get really good, they move out of their mind. They've done a lot of training on the basketball court or football, whatever, soccer, whatever. And they've learned how to work together out of their mind. Now you're starting to get something. When you can be out of your mind in a group environment, now it's starting to get interesting. And then when you can be out of your mind in kind of a team environment, and then be an audience watching people out of their mind perform at all new levels of capability. So art is a product of learning how to let go, and you express it in so many different ways. And to me, art would be a piano as well as it would be a a canvas and different kinds of color. So art is a freedom of the mind and the mind's restrictions and limitations. And that's how I suppose a daffodil that catches your attention when you walk by it on a wall, because there's something glorious about it, something close to the original, or even the equal to the original.
I may not have the year correctly, but I believe Mozart wrote his first symphony at the age of five.
Yeah.
And I think we can speculate that he didn't figure out how to write that symphony, but was tapped into source or guidance, something beyond himself, that he just picked up the quill pen and
Let it come through him.
wrote down what was coming through.
Exactly. Yeah. So the fun part about that is in the old days, and even today, again, this 80s, 1980s stuff, people will go, well, that's evidence of reincarnation. I go, no, it isn't. No, it isn't. It's evidence of our connection with source being. There's a part of us where this connection comes through in an intact manner, and it comes out as Frank Lloyd Wright used to say when he would write, when he would draw, his ideas would come out the cuff of his shirt. So he knew, he was plugging in, he was moving out of the mind, and the pen would be a representation of the ideas coming down his arm and out the cuff of his shirt. And it's not about reincarnation. I don't believe in reincarnation, actually. I don't want to get into that, but if reincarnation was so valid, why are we still so dysfunctional as a species? Why have we not learned anything in all these lifetimes we've had, all these famous people we've been? Why have we not accumulated a little more knowledge? So I believe our connection with source is our first and foremost aim. And as we learn how to ground the frequency of God into the world, the humans do their part of making the world a better place and in an exponential manner.
I'm imagining that there are members of our audience today who are artists and have had the kind of experience we've been talking about that the young lady you described had and that Mozart had. I'm also imagining there are members of our audience today who are not artists, but who would be very interested in having the same kind of transcendent experience that we've been talking about that artists have on a regular basis. Well, audience members, I have great news for you. I'm talking to a gentleman who has perfected several technologies that can deliver exactly that for you.
That's right. That's right. So, I think when we started this series, it was really just it was questions from you, and I was going to field the questions. I figured we'll figure out what we're going to call it. We're going to call this series "The Power of Allowing." As I drift into explaining what soaring affirmations, prosperity, and guidance light is, it reminds me of the importance that allowing brings to how our world unfolds, and it brings us up the map of consciousness. It brings us into more partnership with innate intelligence. Because, as I've said, in resistance, we get more of the same, because resistance is focus. Law of attraction says what you focus on expands. And in resistance, especially with an emotional component to it, because resistance is often associated with emotion. If you want to go back to Ramtha, my early days in the mid 80s, Ramtha, in fact, I flew all the way to California from, where was I? Florida, Key Largo. I went to see Ramtha. I wanted to know what emotion charged by reality. What emotion catalyzes reality creation? And what I learned was knowingness. Knowingness, how's it go? Knowingness charged. The point is that in resistance, there's often emotion, and usually it's anger and resentment, or even shame, or all kinds of things. And so Allowing is very much the opposite. Allowing brings you something new and different. And it's in the ability to take on new ideas that the whole thing opens up. And so the Soaring Affirmations program is a program where we use affirmations to cause the mind's broadcast to upgrade. We want the mind to be singular in its focus, in its broadcast, in its output, in its prayer, if you will. And all of that is about allowing, because we create this broadcast, this outpouring, and it becomes our signal into the universe, into our signal into the frequency of God. And for what comes back, we have to allow, because if you're deciding what the result of Soaring Affirmations, Prosperity and Guidance Light looks like, you're not going to get there. So what we do is we start with a set of affirmations that are well proven, and then we upgrade them, which I don't necessarily want to try to explain, other than to say, we settle into a routine. First thing we do with the mind is we settle into a routine of affirmation, so we can get the mind kind of collected and off in a different, off in a new direction. And then we elevate those by meditation after we do the affirmations. And then we retranslate them after we meditate, which then becomes a soaring affirmation. And the quality of the affirmation really jumps. So the quality of our prayer, the quality of our output, really becomes far, far, far clearer. And allowing what comes of that is the game. And so as we move into more allowing, we move into more prosperity naturally. As we move into more allowing, we move into access to guidance light. And it'll always be called guidance light, because being a mind-driven program, there's a limitation of what you can produce from the mind. And so that's why we call it guidance light. But the idea is that a lot, what we need to do is learn how to clean up our broadcast and allow and watch and take hints from that. And you continue to allow it. Now, I was talking with somebody recently. I think it was one of our earlier questions. You have to decide what you want, but you then allow. So what you want to do is just say you want to do this course, and you want to allow, and you want to let it unfold. At the same time, you might be rebranding Core Resonance back to Visionaries Lab. So you have things going on, and your life is running, and there's things that you want. But plugging into this connection and refining this connection, it then refines your output. And there's a fine line between running the show and allowing. But at the same time, I wanted to rebrand Core Resonance back to Visionaries Lab. I had two $2,000 checks show up within, I think one showed up on Monday, and the other showed up on Wednesday. Totally unexpected money. That money became the rebranding money. And I didn't design that. All I did was learn how to pray to God in a proper manner, which is about enabling my connection and letting that connection build and letting it unfold in its own manner, for which the scale of synchronicity, harmony, and order is huge. And the bigger the synchronicity, harmony, and order is, the easier it is to allow the next part of your life to unfold, because what you've done is created a life that's surrounding you that works, that has an unfolding in it at all the different levels. And all you have to do is allow that. And as you do that, of course, you do have to move out of the mind, but that's how the whole thing unfolds.
Members of our audience today, what if the most important thing you could do in your life at the present moment is make an appointment to speak with Jim Hamilton and enroll in one of his courses? I would strongly suggest if you're saying, well, maybe I'll call tomorrow or maybe I'll call next week. At the conclusion of this tape, why don't you send Jim an email or make a phone call and set up an appointment? Would you like to have the kind of experience that little girl, that musician had? Would you like to have the kind of experience Mozart had when he wrote symphonies? That's available to you if you embrace technologies that'll take you there. Jim?
Thank you for that, Rob. I started out with affirmations. I barely got out of high school. My English teacher, I had her for junior and senior English. I missed out on Beowulf altogether because I wasn't getting along with my dad and actually had to move out of the house middle of my senior year. And shortly after that, I was introduced to a book that taught me about harnessing the subconscious mind and goal setting. And I started meditating when I was 23. By the time I was 30, I had a 40-foot sailboat, gorgeous boat. In fact, I put the deposit on it when I was still 25. And so I started out with goal setting, harnessing the subconscious mind, and on and on. And I have pulled myself up by my bootstraps. I have not done anything traditional. So I retired when I was 30 with a 40-foot sailboat out of Key Largo for 8 years. And from there, I got involved in law. And from there, I wrote Visionaries Thrive in All Times, my first book of five. By the way, Visionaries Thrive in All Times comes from an expression, an Abraham expression. Observers thrive in good times and suffer in bad. Visionaries thrive in all times. And my point is that what I have to offer is stuff I've learned myself. I've learned, in fact, that's what every day when I'm doing putting out blogs and newsletters and all these things, so many things I have to learn over again because there's so many components. And so learning is what I do. But I've always had a focus on my connection with source, because when I started meditating, I realized after a few years that meditation, when you move out of the mind, it's like listening with the nervous system. So I got a hint a very long time ago that our connection with source is our essence, and it's done at a nervous system based level. Your nervous system is made out of neurons, a special kind of a cell. And neurons have microtubules. Actually, all cells have microtubules, which is to say, all cells have a connection with source or God, whatever you want to call it, all the governance. But neurons have lots of microtubules, so which validated what I've eventually learned. I've worked with three physicists now that microtubules are the actual connection with source. That means your nervous system is your center. And that's where we receive, that's where guidance, that's where the whole thing comes from. It's how it comes in. And so I've been very lucky in my life, and I've come to learn how to rapidly advance consciousness. I won't make any claims for myself other than to say I've spent a lot of time in presence, a lot of time, which is to say, no mind. And the world becomes marvelously interesting. I can't say it's all been easy, but I've reduced it down to several types of tools. My first book, Visionaries Thrive in All Times, is available. I do coaching. I have the prosperity, what is it called? Soaring Affirmations, Prosperity and Guidance Light. That's available. I do some other kinds of coaching. You can become part of a colony. You can own a colony. And then I do nonprofit organizations. And this is all stuff I've developed, and it's all tested and true, and had clients for many years. And I've got lots of testimonials on my website. And what I want to see, and the very long version, sure, is I want to see the humans save themselves. We do that by stepping into our power, and we do that by enabling our natural state of connection with source. And once the humans have saved themselves, then we can save the whales, then we can save the bumblebees, then we can save our oceans, then we can save our air, then we can save our water and learn how to treat each other as equals and educate. You know, I don't want to get off into this, but you know, the United States of America, as wealthy as it is, the idea that kids pay for college is as bogus as can be. The idea that people don't have health care is as bogus as can be. And the humans need to step back into their power and make this stuff right. We need to clean up the water. We need to clean up all the junk in space floating around our planet. And the humans have no voice because we have no power. The only way you have your power is to plug into innate intelligence. And once we learn how to do that and learn how to let it happen, then the humans take their rightful place on this planet. And when we take our rightful place, then this planet will shine like never before. And I think the flying saucers that zoom around keeping an eye on us as a species to see if we're going to make it or not, this is what's coming. We need to step into our power. I think it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. In fact, I'm going to be around here long enough to see the whole transition. And allowing is where it starts. Next thing that happens is Jim and Rob do our conversations and share them with you. And by the way, you can be in touch with me, coreresonance.com/contact. There's a calendar for Zoom calls. There's a telephone number there, which actually goes to a voicemail. You don't ring straight to my desk, but and there's a email address. And so there's ways to be in touch. And I'm not trying to sell people stuff because some people aren't ready. Some people are, and they kind of show up on their own, but be willing to break the rules and step out and let's have a conversation and see what you can learn about yourself.
Jim, would you repeat the contact information for those who didn't have a pen in hand when you did it a minute ago?
Yeah, so my website is Core Resonance, Resonance, Core, Core, coreresonance.com/contact. I also have another website, visionarieslab.com, Visionaries, lab.com, and that'll be in the, you'll be able to see that in the video. But I love to talk to people. When I take walks in the evening, I will stop and let people catch up with me that are walking behind me and start a conversation. And of course, I like to start the conversation on a, I don't say, hey, how terrible is the weather? And look at that plane that crashed or this or that. I talk about upbeat stuff. And as long as the conversation stays upbeat, I will continue with people. And if they can't hold an upbeat conversation, I will wander away because anybody can talk about junk. Anybody can talk about what, anybody can describe the problem. It's describing the solution. That's the game. That's the game. Describing the solution.